So when it comes to our American tradition of Thanksgiving, that's when it became official. But do you know Thanksgiving has been around for many, many centuries, even thousands of years before that? It's true. I mean, long before the pilgrims came, people were told in the Bible to celebrate and to give thanks whenever God did something remarkable in their lives. In fact, the Bible tells us to make Thanksgiving a regular part of our relationship with our family, our friends, and with God. Ephesians 5:20 tells us that in everything that we do, we should give thanks to God the Father. And check out how Psalms 100 tells us to give thanks. It's actually called a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord of the earth. For the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. When we give thanks to God, we're acknowledging the blessings that he's given to us in our lives. We're saying that we know that the God who is in control of the whole universe loves us so much that he tells us, don't worry about anything. He's going to take care of everything for us, and we can trust that he's going to do that. When we have the attitude of thanksgiving, or as I like to call it, the attitude of gratitude, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it puts us right into God's will for our lives. Having the attitude of gratitude also allows us to enjoy life. One author said, she said, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Gratitude puts our relationship with God in a proper perspective. It tells God that we know that he is our provider, and all the blessings that we have come from him. Consider the country that we live in. We live in a country where we can enjoy freedom, not to mention vast amounts of food and clothing and shelter. It would seem only natural that we would give thanks to God in these situations, right? Listen to this excerpt taken from a book by an author named O.S. Hawkins. Here's what he wrote. Someone had noticed that if you reduce the world population to 1,000 and put them all in one city, it would have quite a distinctive look. Only 46 of the 1,000 would be Americans. 954 would represent the rest of the world. Yet these 46 would receive half the income from the entire city. These 46 people's life expectancies would be 75 years of age, while the rest of the world would be 40 years of age. These 46 people would eat 70% above the daily food requirements, while 80% of the rest of the city would never get a balanced meal. In fact, the kitchen disposals of the 46 people would eat better than 80% of the city. I mean, folks, that means if you have a change of clothing and more than one meal to eat in the day, you're in the top 25% of the world's richest people. And while it's true that we have so much to be thankful for, have you ever noticed that it seems like all around us there are people who are ungrateful for what they have? Even with the abundance of stuff that surrounds them, they're still ungrateful for what they have. Now, in my vast 37 years of experience, I've noticed a growing trend of unthankfulness in the society around us. So what's going on? Why, when people, especially as Americans, when we have all the stuff and the technology is available to us, we have more wealth in our daily lives than the kings and queens of the past do? Why do we still slip into times of unthankfulness? Why do people fall into times of unthankfulness? I have a theory. I think it's because of the uninvited guests that have made their way to the Thanksgiving tables of people's lives throughout the years. They're guests that have one motive, one goal, and that is to keep people from being truly thankful. If we're not alert, these invited guests are going to try to come into our houses too. So what I'd like to do tonight is take a few minutes and call out these uninvited guests by name to tell you who they are and what they stand for, so that when they show up knocking on your door, when they want to come in and sit around your Thanksgiving table, you'll recognize them and you'll tell them to take a hike. Now, as a warning, these guests often show up in pairs, like our first uninvited guests, Walter Wanting and his sidekick, Never Satisfied Ned. When these clowns show up, they try to make it so that you could never enjoy what you have. They're constantly prodding you to get the next and newest thing. They're always looking for the next best thing. And when you're looking at that next best thing, what you currently have is looked at more as a nuisance rather than a blessing. You won't be thankful for what you have if you don't appreciate it. They'll tell you that you need a 50-inch high-definition plasma TV instead of your 29-inch tube television. That still works fine after all these years. And for that new television, you'll need this 265 high-definition channel package instead of the measly 150 channel package you have now. I mean, what's there to watch on 150 channels? But on 265, you'll be all set. Walter Wanting and Never Satisfied Ned will be more than happy to tell you that the car you drive is now outdated. They'll say, look at everyone else driving a new car. Yeah, your 2002, which still runs fine, but it doesn't have the pizzazz that a new one has. This is a true story. A plumber was complaining to his wife that he wanted his daughter to have new shoes for Easter, but he couldn't afford it. Well, that day he went off to work for an extremely wealthy family. And while he was there fixing their washer, he started complaining to the wealthy wife that he wanted these new shoes for his daughter because he was tired of the old ones. Well, when he said that, the wife ran out of the room crying. The plumber, he didn't know what he said to make her upset. Then the woman's husband came in. The wealthy husband said to the plumber, he said, let me explain. We just found out that our 6-year-old daughter is handicapped, and there will be no chance of her ever being able to walk. The rich man said, I would give up my entire fortune to hear my daughter walk down the hall in those old shoes. I catch myself pushing Walter Wanting and Never Satisfied Ned out the door all the time. Our computer home is about 6 years old. In computer years, that's about 105. The thing is considered a dinosaur today, but it still works fine most of the time. But every now and then, it starts running a little bit slower than I want it to. I start thinking that, you know what, I really could and would like to have a newer, faster, turbocharged one with a cup holder. Because waiting 5 seconds for the web page to load up is just too long. I need it in 2 seconds. That's when I realize those two buggers let themselves into my house and I have to go kick them out. Now, the next people who try to show up uninvited to your house at Thanksgiving are appropriately named Forget It Fran and her boyfriend Complaining Carl. Old Franny's method to hinder our thankfulness is to try and make the past look better than our present. What she'll do is she'll take all the bad memories out of the past, and she'll keep only the good ones, and she'll embellish those good ones. She'll make our present circumstance look lousy compared to where we used to be. When we start dwelling on the so-called golden years of our past, we'll always be unappreciative of the present. That's when Forget It Fran has us right where she wants us, and then she sends her boyfriend in Complaining Carl. He steps in and takes over. Complaining Carl constantly has us complain about situations we're in. I don't have enough time. That guy's driving too slow. That toilet paper's too rough. My new job stinks. There's too much construction on these highways. Gas is too expensive, and there's too much spam mail. Did you know that Forget It Fran and Complaining Carl even showed up in Bible times, like in the story of Moses and Pharaoh? Only back then, their name sounded a little more biblical. It was Fran that maketh thee forgetteth and complaineth Carl. And boy, were they good. For hundreds of years, Israel was being held as slaves in Egypt, and they were made to do back-breaking work. Exodus 1 tells us of some of the conditions they live in. It says, a new king came to power in Egypt who didn't know Joseph. He spoke to his people in alarm. There are way too many of these Israelites for us to handle. We've got to do something. Let's devise a plan and contain them, lest they make war and they should join our enemies, or just walk off and leave us. So they organized themselves into work gangs and put them to hard labor under gang foremen. They built the storage cities of Pithom and Ramses for Pharaoh. But the harder the Egyptians worked them, the more children the Israelites had. Children everywhere. The Egyptians got so they couldn't stand the Israelites and treated them worse than ever, crushing them with slave labor. They made them miserable with hard work, making bricks and mortar, back-breaking works in the field. They piled on the work, crushing them under the cruel workloads. The king of Egypt had a talk with two Hebrew midwives. One was named Shapira, and the other Puah. He said, when you deliver the Hebrew women, look at the sex of the baby. If it's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. So Pharaoh issued a general order to all his people. Every boy that is born, drown him in the Nile, but let the girls live. Israel was slaves for people who absolutely hated them, and they mistreated them, and they beat them. And this is the story where Moses set Israel free, where God used Moses to set Israel free by sending the 10 plagues on Egypt. God guided Israel out of Egypt and into safety. I always think of the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston when I think of the movie Exodus from Egypt. Anyway, God freed Israel from slavery and brought them into safety of the desert en route to a land that he promised to give them. When they were out in the desert, that's when Forget It Fran and Complaining Carl showed up. Let's read about it in Exodus. On the 15th day of the second month, that is less than 3 months, that's me saying that, after they left Egypt, the whole company of Israel moved on from Elam to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. The whole company of Egypt complained against Moses and Aaron there in the wilderness. The Israelites said, why didn't God let us die in comfort in Egypt, where we had lamb stew and all the bread we could eat? You've brought us out in this wilderness to starve us to death, the whole company of Israel. God said to Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from the skies for you. The people will go out and gather each day's rations. So God took care of the people so they wouldn't starve by sending down bread from heaven every night. I mean, that's cool. This bread was called manna, and here's what the Bible says that manna was. Manna was a seed-like substance with a shiny appearance like resin. The people went around collecting it and ground it between stones or pounded it fine into a mortar. Then they boiled it in a pot and shaped it into cakes. It tasted like a delicacy cooked in olive oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna was right there with it. So God, he provided this miraculous manna, this miraculous food for Israel. And we can only assume that they were thankful for God for providing this, right? They were grateful for God. Well, let's read on and see what they thought about this provision that God gave them. The riffraff among the people had a craving, and they soon had the people of Israel whining, why can't we have meat? We ate fish in Egypt, and we got it free, to say nothing of the cucumbers and melons, leeks and onions and garlic. But nothing tastes good out here. All we get is manna, manna, manna. Looks like Forget It Fran and Complaining Carl did a pretty good job in taking away Israel's thankfulness. Israel forgot about the terrible life conditions that they had to endure there in Egypt. And to make matters worse, they made it sound like they got a Las Vegas-style buffet over there. When they got those embellished ideas in their head, it was almost impossible for them to be thankful for the manna that God provided for them every day. Our third and final duo who will try to show up uninvited at your Thanksgiving table and put the kibosh on thankfulness is a really miserable couple. Ungrateful Uncle Earl and Entitlement Aunt Edna. When these two come around, they'll turn you into somebody that nobody wants to be around. Their mode of operation is to make you think that you're better than everybody else. And when you think you're better than everybody else, you expect others to do things for you simply because you're you. Our society constantly drills this into our head. Radio and TV commercials constantly tell me that I deserve a lower interest rate. I deserve a better job. I deserve a vacation. I want to ask them, how do you know what I deserve? I might be a lazy bum and deserve to live in a cardboard box. But this constant barrage of advertisement, it puffs us up and gives us a false sense of who we are. It's this puffed up, prideful attitude that keeps us from being thankful. But the other thing that keeps us from being grateful, or that keeps us from being grateful, is the idea that I earned it. I earned it. I worked for it. It wasn't given to me at all. I got up at 5 every morning, and I worked 10 hours a day so that I could afford this house. It wasn't a gift at all, so why should I thank God for it? That's the other attitude that puffs us up and makes us prideful. The person who's prideful looks at everyone else as inferior to themselves. A 19th century minister wrote, "A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." Have you ever done something for somebody who isn't grateful? I mean, am I the only one who gets irritated at this? Like when you hold the door for someone and they walk through and they don't even acknowledge you're there. Or when you let the car out in front of you because nobody else will let him out, and then you stop and you let the car out and he doesn't wave. You don't get, now I got to go out of my way and cut the guy off and, you know. How about if somebody drops something and you pick it up and you hand it to them and they don't even say thank you or anything, they just take it and go on their way? And I know pretty much everybody has had the experience of giving a child a gift. And a kid takes it and rips it open, doesn't say thank you, puts it down, moves on to the next present, does the same thing. Am I the only one that gets incredibly irritated at this? I doubt it. But I'm speculating here. I'm wondering. It's just a speculation. But I wonder if that's how God feels when we fail to give him thanks. Whether it's him providing for us for our basic needs, like he provided the manna for Israel, or whether he's given us the health to be able to get up at 5 in the morning and work a 10-hour day job and give us the skills to do that job. A young lady was waiting for her flight at a boarding room of a big airport. Her flight was delayed and she would have to wait for many hours. She purchased a book and a package of cookies and sat down in the chair to spend some time. Beside her was an empty chair where the package of cookies lay. And a man was sitting in the next chair reading a magazine. Well, she took a cookie, and the man took one as well. She was irritated, but she didn't say anything, and she continued to read, but thought to herself, I mean, this guy's got some nerve. For each cookie she took, the man took one as well. She got infuriated. But she didn't wish to make a scene in the crowded airport. But when there was one cookie left, she wondered what this rude man will do. As if reading her mind, the man picked up the cookie, broke it in half, and handed half to her without looking up. That was it. That was it. She got fed up. She gathered her things and she stormed off. After she boarded the plane, she reached into her purse to get the glasses and she pulled out a packet of cookies. She suddenly remembered that she placed her cookies in her purse. Oh, dude, you got me laughing, man. The man she considered to be so rude was sharing his cookies with her, just out of pure kindness. As this woman found out, sometimes it turns out the things we think we're entitled to aren't ours after all. When these types of uninvited folks come lurking around your house trying to rain on your Thanksgiving Day parade, ask yourself, which people would you rather have at your Thanksgiving table? A couple who gives or a couple who takes? Forgetful complainers or cheerful recollectors? People who are always wanting, or people who are satisfied and thankful for what they have. Instead of letting Walter Wanting and his sidekick Never Satisfied Ned into your Thanksgiving this year, try inviting Satisfied Susan, and her friend Catherine the Content. Instead of forgetful Fran and complaining Carl, why not invite reminiscing Rita and complimentary Christina? And when ungrateful Uncle Earl and entitlement Aunt Edna show up, tell them to take a hike and give their seats to appreciative Adam and contributing Katie. Gang, choose to invite the guests that are going to help you cultivate your heart of thankfulness toward God. When you're setting your table, take time to express your thankfulness to God for the blessings He's provided and ask Him to help you always have a grateful heart and cheerfully celebrate the blessings He's given you in response to the provision that He's given to all of us. Would you pray with me? Lord, You're an amazing God. And Lord, as we approach this time, this holiday coming up, let it not just be one day that we remember the blessings that You've given to us, Lord, but let it be a lifestyle that we cultivate of understanding and knowing that every single thing that we have, Lord, everything we have is a blessing from You. Lord, we thank You for all You've given to us. We thank You especially for the greatest gift You've given to us, Lord, in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we go out this week, we ask You to protect us, give us great travels, Lord, as we go be with our families and friends, and Lord, help us to kick these bums out of our house if they show up. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a